Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania, and this is Mocha Gumbo. And I'm Kevin Milton.
And I'm James.
I don't know why.
Nigro.
Wow, that was the first time I ever said my full.
Can we, can I get a bit more volume on my, ooh, and I'm out.
Yeah, like we got some weird geometry going on here.
Scoot me up there. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I couldn't hear myself either.
I think.
Oh, there we go.
Ooh, there we go. Yeah, ooh.
Alrighty. Oh, okay. So this is Mocha Gumbo, and it is a
scorcher out right now.
Scorcher,
it's
yeah,
beautiful.
I mean, relatively,
it really is. It's so nice.
I apologize if, you know, for the one guy who finds this in 10 years and is listening to back episodes of some college radio station. I named this episode like really pretentiously.
What? Oh,
it's.
Yeah, okay.
I was trying to come up with something about the weather, but then I realized we talked about that, how like
and we can't keep falling back.
Radio
on the
stations
weather.
Like, it's so nice out, Easton. It's like, stop. But I did do something with it. Feels like it's like we should be in spring right now.
It feels
now.
Like we should be in May. It feels like we should be ending the semester.
Although, I mean,
especially with the amount of work I have. I don't know about you, but I'm swamped right now.
Yeah.
It's not a good time.
Well, I told you I hit that motivation threshold where I'm
just done.
Yeah, no, and not even like basic task either. I'm just talking about like fundamental existence. I'm at that point where I'm all right.
You like sit up in bed and you're like, you know what? What would happen if I just stay here for 12 hours? Right?
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, or I'll wake up at like 4 a.m. and just scream and then stay up for the next 5 hours and sleep deprived.
Mm.
But
no, it's fair. It's fair.
No, I'm not having a bad. I don't know if. I'm not having a bad semester, and I don't know if it's because I'm just not having a bad semester, or personally, I just don't give...
You don't care anymore, yeah.
You know? Like, there could be really major crises that I have to be recognizing right now, just externally, internally, emotionally, spiritually. I'm just not recognizing. Could be that there's a lot going on. I'm just not aware.
I've completely blocked internships out of my mind right now, just so I can get my work done.
Yeah, well, you could save that for spring break.
No, I can't. I could, I guess, but I'd be at a severe disadvantage. My father texted me the other day. He goes, "So you've been applying internships?" And I was like, "No, I'm trying to keep my GPA afloat."
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't want it looking like a popular fruit drink. You know what I'm saying? High C's. Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't funny at all, but I really liked it.
Well, you liked it, yeah. I was trying to do something with pirates and, like, you know, but I thought the high seas was pretty good. Thank you.
I mean, if we do have the amount of listeners you say we do, which is a total of 5, which would be a record, not counting my immediate
maybe, like,
family.
5 times.
We really got to bring out the quips and, like, the
we got to keep our listeners, I mean, if you're listening, text the group chat right now. At Markiplier's people. But if you're not in Markiplier's, just
actually,
text
no,
me.
I don't know if I want them to do that because it's nice to have the illusion that people give a damn about the show, you know? Because if nobody says anything in the chat, then we know
that's
that
so much
listening.
Worse, yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to. I want to have the posture right now that somebody is listening, so I feel like I have to.
Well, aren't Mr. and Mrs. Milton listening?
They don't. Not anymore. I think for the first 2 years of college, they listened because they knew I was just on an emotional precipice and that at any point I might take that leap off.
Mm.
But
now we're just jaded and thick-skinned.
Yeah, now they know that I'm inured and don't care about anything anymore. So they're like, he's all right. I don't need to indulge his awful radio
your
show.
Your parents didn't think about me and how upset I would get. Those constant 2 listeners really kept me going.
The thing is, once you know nobody's listening, it's... You put on a certain entertaining posture when you know people are listening.
Yeah.
And that's how it used to feel when...
We got to get some music up, by the way.
Thank you, James.
You
want to be the technical director? Go
no,
ahead.
No, I don't.
I'm just
saying that I have the option to complain when I do.
Ooh. Yeah, there it is.
There we go.
I, It's not when we had the so the radio station, for those unaware, is supposed to be transmitting FM, which it very may well be transmitting on FM, like for like a couple like 5 mile radius.
Mm.
But we refuse to answer that phone, which allows people to call in and talk to us because that's terrifying.
Feel like we have gotten calls during it.
We've gotten calls during our show, but the thing, but what's troubling about that is we've never told them the number on the show.
Yeah,
which means it's either advertising, the FCC, or a really angry, irate, regular listener.
I feel like we could definitely have some fun with any of those three categories, though.
Mm.
Right? Like, you don't want...
If it's the FCC, I could just tell my boy...
Ajit Pai?
Ajit Pai, that, you know, we're pretty tight.
We'll do those PSAs eventually, right?
I'm telling you, from what I learned, they're not going to bring suit unless somebody complains. So if you... happen to be that one person.
Yeah, if you at home are complaining that you're not learning how to drink milk, please take it up with me personally.
Now I've got this subtle fear in my mind that just at the exact moment that we just said that.
I'm angry.
No, or that for some reason a field agent from the FCC is in Easton, PA and happens to be listening.
Get a text. Stay right there. You know the FBI
SWAT
memes.
Teams. Yeah. I don't think the FCC is not nearly as terrifying because they don't have the show of force that.
Yeah, no, they have very little. I mean, besides complete control over media.
You know what's interesting? When I was there, they have an enforcement bureau.
Mm. Is it like a guy with a foam sword?
Yeah, they give the guy a Nerf gun and spray paint it black and say, "Alright, you're a real cop," and give him a plastic bag badge from the dollar store.
And
I don't know.
Yeah, they give him a plastic bag.
This is
your garage.
When you ask like the people in the bureau or on any of the bureaus, the media bureau or whatever, they're like, "Oh, there's wireline, there's media, there's enforcement." Like internally people are like, "Oh, enforcement, you know, they're scary.
Yeah,
they're scary people." But it's FCC enforcement, you know.
it's you go into the bureau, it's a single desk in a beige room. He's like, "Hey Kev, how you doing?"
Yeah.
"Hey Kev." the guy's like, it's just like a paper pusher.
And you know what's really cool? One of the things they told me, so I asked, like, what does the FCC's enforcement, how do they enforce FCC regulations? Mm. You know, I imagine it's a lot of paper chasers. You know, it's just people dealing with paperwork and contract. I didn't think it would be someone kicking down a door and, like, stamping on a cell phone. But apparently one of their things in, like, the 90s was hunting and tracking down pirate radio operators.
Mm.
I don't know if I talked about this.
You mean, like... Not, when you say pirate radio.
Not pirates. Not actual pirates. You know, like...
Come
so,
on, go
so
on.
People who aren't registered FM users
would
hijack the, like, FM stations and airwaves and, like, certain radius where you have dominion. They would take over those frequencies and then just play whatever they wanted.
That's pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. And, like, that was... I just love the image of that. The FCC hunting down these underground pirate radio. It could be, like, a novel. But
it's,
other than that, I can't see anything.
More often than not, you're going to get a conspiracy theorist or a 15-year-old kid in his basement who's like, "Hey, check out what I can do."
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't think it was like high profile. Nobody. it's like the lamest thing to be. It's not like they're in the war on drugs.
It's like the lamest thing to be enforcing.
Yeah, you know, I would feel bad about that. You kick down a ham radio operator's door and you're like, "Sorry, you're not licensed." And it's like a 14-year-old aspiring.
Come on, man.
Yeah, it's literally all I have. Because you know the people that are doing ham radio aren't doing much else.
It's like the kids on Stranger Things.
Yeah.
You break down the door and you see the kids from Stranger Things and you're like, "Ah, jeez." Like,
sorry, guys.
These kids are so young. And they're like, "It's fine, we understand." Like,
oh,
like,
man. I used to...
You think anyone ever runs?
What?
Like when they get the door busted down by the FCC?
Not today.
You'll never get me alive.
Yeah, people who are so passionate about their illicit FM transmitter.
God.
Those things are, and they're low power too, so they're not that expensive either.
Yeah, you get like your street and the next street over.
Mm.
Oh. That's hilarious.
So
actually.
I like keeping with what we did last week.
Oh, are we doing current event stuff?
There was something. Something came up. I don't really like doing actual relative pertinent, like things that matter current events, because you can. I don't really like reading news that I feel like every time I type in news on Google or go through like Google Trends, I just don't want to get out of bed.
Yeah, no,
it's just never. It's just the worst things.
It's
in the
really
world.
Discouraging.
It's a collection of the worst things that happened in the world today, and like just a list of reasons why you shouldn't be happy. So I like doing like just the fringe things, the things that are weird.
So niche news.
That's the segment name.
Don't do that voice. What? Wait, is it okay? Here. We're good.
Yeah, you're right.
I feel like you're louder than me, and it sounds like people need to respect you more than me.
That is also true.
Well, that's not because of the loudness thing, but in this medium.
Right. Well, I actually
it's like Plankton says, you know.
Correct.
No, not that. It's if we're loud. Well, actually, people will think we're
actually
good.
Squidward says that, and Plankton says correct.
Oh,
yeah, way to go.
Yeah.
But I actually pushed my levels up a little bit.
SpongeBob is ending. Did you know that?
I'm fine with that.
Oh no, me too. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Well, I don't.
But that was a pretty big mile marker. Like, it's a very common thing for people to bond over SpongeBob quotes.
Yeah, and well, here's the thing about that, because I don't know if I'm just being contrarian and be like, oh, and SpongeBob is the worst. But
no, it is. It sucks.
But well, how? Like, I don't. I think that's just a relative thing, because I feel like if I would have seen these episodes when I was, everyone says that they're awful, but nobody has like a specific critique. I think it's just the nostalgic effect.
It's too surreal.
What do you mean surreal?
There's a lot of very off the wall plots. I mean, there were some weird plots in the original ones, but they at least followed like some sort of cohesive thought. So like, you know, one of the best episodes in my opinion is the hibernation one, right? The hibernation one is fantastic when they get trapped in Sandy's tree dome.
Yeah.
Or like the Squidville one with the reef blower, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are great. They follow a cohesive plot, and it's like pretty linear story. But the new ones, I mean, I haven't seen them in a while, but I've seen screen caps, and I've seen just like
Neo-Dadaism.
Yeah, it is literally like we talked about last time. Neo-Dadaism. And I don't want to get on this topic, but they're just weird. It's surreal. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't know if they're... Maybe it has something to do with like creative management, but like...
Maybe it's just what the kids like these days, you know? Kids like weird stuff. That's why people are eating Tide Pods.
That's another thing. Are people actually... I don't think...
Yes. Have you not seen those videos?
No. Well, duh. No, I know, like, people have eaten Tide Pods, but I feel like... How does that become a news item? Because there would... what is the threshold, or what is, like, the moment at which enough kids eat Tide Pods that, like, CNBC goes... All right, we got a story. Like, well, so, I don't know if that many people did it.
No, well, so babies eat Tide Pods by accident because they're colorful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And colorful things are tasty.
Oh, yes,
No, I might be kidding. That's a thing. And
no, but like from experience, like, oh, yeah, sure.
Elderly people with dementia eat Tide Pods because they have dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Are these like prescriptive things they do?
What do you mean? They aren't prescribed to eat Tide Pods, if that's what you're asking.
They go to their pharmacist, they're like...
Oh, I get it. Like the
you make it sound like...
It's like course, people if with you dementia, have dementia, you eat Tide Pods. Yeah, no. You know what I mean? But then people are just like, you know what? What if I did that too? I don't know how that starts. How do these movements start, right?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I was... Before this was a thing, I guess I'm confessing this now, but I had licked it.
Why?
No, all right, no, hear me out.
Oh my god.
No, hear me out. I didn't want to...
No, Kevin.
Listen, I didn't want to eat it. I wasn't hungry for Tide Pod, but I wanted to know...
Is that a Rick and Morty reference?
Hungry for Tide Pod?
Yeah.
No? Is that in Rick and Morty?
Yeah, well, no, it's hungry for apples, but like, I don't know.
No.
It just seemed... The way you said it...
Please bring up Rick and Morty and drive the new three listeners we have away.
You know, Kevin... You have to have a really high IQ to understand. I love that joke.
Yeah.
I love the you have to have a really high IQ.
No, all right, but genuine, I think it's excusable because you put it in, it blew me away. I was like, I've got Tide Pods for the first time, and I was like, wow, that's brilliant. How do these little things work? And then I go, oh, it must dissolve. And then I was like, I wonder how fast it takes to dissolve. And then I just, you know, little elbow grease, little saliva, and I didn't find out anything, actually.
You licked it.
I did lick it, yeah.
You licked it?
Why do you have to go there? We tried avoiding
I'm
that
just trying to make you uncomfortable.
And
I guess by proxy our listeners.
But do we have any?
Is that confirmed? I don't know. No one's putting anything in the chat.
Making me a little more self-conscious. I don't like it, to be
honest.
Please don't tell me next time if there's anyone listening.
Do you think if Do you think there's no messages in the chat because no one's listening, or because you told them not to put it in the chat? See, now I'm psyching myself out.
Yeah, I think we should just ignore you. I don't mind you advertising, but I really like when it's just an echo chamber and I'm just going off the walls.
Oh, so just narcissism.
Yeah, because if I have to, I'm actually. You know what's really ironic? I've been doing radio for so long, and I really haven't tried to entertain anyone.
Yeah, because we don't need to. This isn't even like us right now. We're just talking.
Yeah,
that's literally what the show is.
But I don't like. But the whole idea of radio and media is to be entertaining.
Yeah.
But the last 7 years, I've just been stroking my ego really hard in a
room.
Well,
I mean, you need that.
I do.
Yeah, I know you. I know you well.
Well, it's not all right. Well, we've talked about this before. It's
if it makes you feel any better. I think we entertain me. Like when I listened to all of our shows while I was working at the law firm.
Really?
And it was hilarious. So, yeah. Well, some of them were really good. Some of them were all right.
Well, it depends on the
season.
Heat. Yeah. The heat and the amount of nicotine and or coffee I did or did not consume.
That's fair.
But I was going to say it's really kind of upsetting that the reason I like this is because we're forced to sit down and talk for like an hour.
Mm.
In zero other context would I talk to someone for an hour. Unless I was trying to get something from them.
Yeah, that's fair.
But you have nothing to offer.
I mean, friendship.
Well, not, you know. I didn't mean that viciously. Like, you've got nothing to offer.
There's nothing here for me.
But, like, at no other time would I sit down and talk to someone for an hour. Unless they were really interesting. But what happens here is, like, you're put in front of mics and you're forced to say something interesting.
Yeah.
And it makes the conversation great.
That's the thing. It's like, when I talk to people normally, I can usually keep a conversation going for pretty long, but it's never as fluid as when we're on air, right?
Right. Well, there is also, you're also conscious of delivery. You know, you don't want to, if we're having an actual conversation, we can get bogged down in detail and I can tell you, and I can just scream over.
Yeah.
You.
Like if I'm trying to remember a part of a story, I'll just be like, which is a problem because I went to this conference for my fraternity actually. And most of the talks were pretty contrived. They were, you know, we're leaders, etc. But one of the talks I went to was about listening and like how to have powerful conversations for networking. Right. And one of the facets of it was don't bother with the details. No one cares about the details. Like if I'm telling a story, no one's gonna care. If I say it was Saturday, no one's gonna care what Saturday it was. No one's gonna care what time it was, right? They just care about the story itself. So if you stop trying to figure out the minute details, then people will be more engaged in your story because you'll spend less time going let me think, something like that. Yeah. Right.
And
so I think that's really
interesting. Have you ever met one of those people?
I used to do that a lot.
You're the detailed storyteller guy?
Yeah.
That's the worst guy.
Not like heavily detail oriented, like I need to tell every little bit, but if I forgot something that I felt was important, I'd like try to go into it. Right. But now I just you know, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, I'm not gonna name any names, but I have met someone who when telling a story about their prize catch or whatever, or their day hunting, it takes them 20 minutes to describe getting out of the cabin door.
Oh my god.
It's the worst thing in the world.
That's because they want to immortalize that though.
But the worst part is I don't want to ruin their storytelling ego. But unless somebody says, dude, you really gotta get to the meme, or I'm so bored right now. But nobody's gonna do that in the middle of the story. One of the problems is if somebody's telling a story and they're one of those long-winded people, you always think they're about to get to the crux of it, so you're never going to say anything.
Yeah,
so they'll be like, and then you'll never believe it. And I'm like, whew, thank God. And he's like, so I got my keys. And I'm like, dude. And that just keeps going on and on. And I always like pull back because I'm like, all right, it'll come.
And then you just keep tricking yourself, and then a half hour has passed.
Yeah. I think everyone wants to. Like, I certainly like telling stories.
Oh, I love it, yeah.
But I don't actually, like, listen to other... Like, I don't know if it's just delivery or not, but if anyone's in a room telling stories, if somebody's, like, I don't know, it's like a game of one-upsmanship, almost always, even tacitly, but if somebody's saying something in a room of more than, like, five... If it's, like, an intimate conversation, like now, will be saying things that have, like, I'll actually be able to sit down and not have to reactively be like, oh, yeah,
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
And by the way, but if you're in a room of a bunch of people and you're having these sorts of conversations, it also just degrades immediately, and it's just a game of, oh, that's great. By the way, I have this thing.
Yeah. And the other thing is, people like to BS a lot. Another one, back to this conversation talk. People listen to stories to respond, you know what I mean?
Mm.
But you don't always have to respond to things.
Mm.
People are like, oh, yeah, uh-huh, etc., because they want to make sure that the person knows they're listening, right? But you're not really listening when you're saying stuff like that, right?
Right.
You wanna be able to process what they're saying and then ask questions, or, you know, give a personal recantation, mm. A recantation, rather. A personal experience or something like that, because mm. But you don't want to change the spotlight from yourself either. That was another thing. It's just, that talk was fantastic, by the way.
Mm.
But in essence, you want, and people love talking about themselves, right? I know that, you know that, everyone knows that, even if you say you don't. So I love meeting new people. I don't know about you.
No, I hate
but
new people.
It the thing
hate
is
people in general.
I could tell that when you meet a new person. Like, I just love asking questions, right? Mm. I want to get to know who the person is and why they are.
What's your annual income?
Yeah, what's your social security number? Your mother's maiden name?
What is this, your CV code or whatever it is?
On the credit card?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
045.
But you know what
I'm... Just kidding.
You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yeah, no.
Because you want to ask questions because people love talking about themselves, and if you can get them talking about themselves, then you're still talking. You're mm-hmm. still having a conversation.
Right.
But you're also learning.
You know what's funny? Now I'm noticing. Once you get hyper, like, meta about.
Yeah, super aware.
Now I'm like.
We're just having a conversation.
Now
having
I just went, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm a fake loser.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
All right, we're coming up to minute 21. And by the way, I need to air out because I'm already
sweating. Yeah, I'm pretty
sweating.
Thirsty right now.
So I hope the quality doesn't degrade more than it already has in the next 40 minutes. We're going to play some music. And we'll be back in, I don't know, probably 8 or so minutes.
Do you want to go first?
A couple of tunes for you. Yeah, what do you want?
All right, let's bring it back to one of our favorite bands, or at least one of my favorite bands. We're going to do Local Long Distance Relationship by Saint Motel.
Long Distance Relationship by
Local
Saint Motel.
Long Distance Relationship.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. And we'll be back in a few moments. Enjoy the music.
I'd like to think the best of me is still hiding up my sleeve. I love to tell you stay inside the lines, but something's better on the other side. I want to run through the halls of my high school. I want to scream at the top of my lungs. I just found out there's no such thing as the real world, just a lie you've got to rise above.
Welcome back. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania, or WJRH.org. And this is Mocha Gumbo.
There it is.
And I'm James.
And I'm Kevin, I think. And it is debilitatingly hot in the studio.
Well, you were wearing layers, so.
Yeah.
But then you stripped for me a bit, and now we're here.
Yeah. You got a layer now, because it's so unpredictable.
Yeah, you know, the 30 degree temperature differential between the morning to the afternoon to the night is awful.
Not even that. It's between like 8 and 12. It goes from dead, like the dead of winter.
I've just been sucking it up.
Spring.
Like if I'm cold, it doesn't matter anymore.
I don't know. I can't like acclimate, you know. It's like bipolar too.
Yeah, that's fair.
I need to like commit.
It's either hot or it's not. Yeah.
And I'm just pasty. And doughy, you know.
You're just kind of gross in general, huh?
Yeah, I really, well, I'm just not fit for, it takes me, for anyone else, like people who are like tan and fit, they can kind of fluctuate, but like I need to really brace myself for this kind of weather. Like, look at how pale this is. Look at this.
Yeah, no, I could see it.
It's a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Look awful. But I need like a gradual progression, so like at like 40, it can be like, all right, 45, I'm like, all right, 50's coming. Let me, you know, find clever ways to hide my
skin.
My stringy arms. Because even I will bite the bullet, and in like spring or summer, I will wear hoodies because I'm just not a. It makes me it conceals it. It makes like a certain amount of mystery. You know, you're like, that kid might have bulk. I don't know. He's wearing a really thick Echo sweatshirt.
If it gets like real baggy, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. It depends.
Are you trying to fill these sweatshirts out?
What?
And people are just gonna think you're wearing tight sweatshirts.
No, not tight sweatshirts. I'm talking about like loose baggy sweatshirts. You know, you wear.
Well, then why would you have bulk underneath that?
What do you mean? Why wouldn't I? You don't know.
I feel like if you were bulky, you'd want to show it off.
Well, what if I'm really modest? Then people would love that too. They'd be like, "Wow, he's."
Yeah, and then you take it off, and they're like,
"Oof." And now he's got reason to be modest.
Oof. Yeah.
No wonder he's humble.
Oh my gosh.
I just need like a good amount of time and warning. Which also the weather has just not been. The weatherman is just a
it's
heretic.
It's volatile.
There's nothing. There's no way to. Even like the weekly prediction is just off.
I'm just loving the trend of a gorgeous day and then 4 days of rain straight.
Yeah.
Oh, which is awful. I hate. Too. I used to love the rain. Huh. Now I've grown to hate it. I love it when I'm inside, right?
Huh.
It's fantastic. But when you're outside, it's just. It's not even.
You mean when you're getting rain? Yeah, that's.
Yeah, when you're getting rained on, it's just. It's so annoying.
Was that a revelation for you? You don't like getting rained on?
Yeah, actually, I realized this the other day. I was like, you know what? Maybe I should wear an umbrella or a coat.
Are you serious? Did you typically just walk through the rain? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm being completely facetious.
Oh.
But, like, it never used to bother me as much, but now I just, I hate it. I hate it so much.
I just spilled coffee on my chin. Yeah, it's not even, like, I have no reason to. I'm not like you. People are like season partial, you know. It's like I'm a summer person. I don't really care. I like because in the summer, in the winter, I'm inside.
Mm.
In the summer, I'm probably inside. I mean, there's no like I'm not like a sports kid.
Yeah.
You know? So like I don't really
clear
have any.
Sky is partial. I'd rather it be like clear and a decent temperature, or actually, you know what? I don't care what temperature it is, as long as it's not precipitating and it's like some amount of not necessarily sunny, but like at least not like overcast. I'm fine.
All right, we need to get off weather before we sound really derivative. And
yeah,
stupid.
It always comes back to this. So, Marxism, right?
Or that's the fallback.
That's the fallback.
Failsafe is.
I've actually been reading a lot about Marxism again
My
world history or Euro history.
I don't know
class.
What it is with professors, but it seems like every couple of weeks, Marx rears his ugly head again.
What do you mean ugly?
What do you mean? Well,
fantastic.
I'm just tired of the capitalist critique, especially because like a lot of his critiques were subsumed in capitalism.
All right, we're getting on this topic again. See, it always ropes us in.
Yeah, it comes up. I don't know what it is about the curriculum, but he's everywhere.
He is.
Where's the Ayn Rand? I demand the Ayn Rand. Okay, if I don't read Atlas Shrugged in the next year and a half in an English course, I'm.
Are you gonna have enough time to read it in the year and a half?
Ayn Rand, probably not.
Exactly.
It's a thick book. I keep that in my bathroom at home. No, in my bathroom at home, and I've never touched it. I've never read it.
Oh,
but I just want people to know it's a Republican household.
Oh my God, you're the worst.
I want when you walk into the bathroom and do your thing, I want you to look for reading and know that, you know.
Like, oh, maybe they'll have a newspaper and just this
yeah,
absolute
we have the Wall
behemoth.
Street Journal and Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah, behemoth of a novel.
Yeah. That's true, though. That is an actual thing that's happened. Not because I'm Republican, although I think that's funny.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
I have a couple. Do you ever buy, like, books just for...
Just
the shelf
there.
Quality. I do that a lot.
I can't say that I haven't, but not recently.
Well, I don't know. Here's what happens. I don't do it on purpose, but I'll go into... You know what gets me? You go into Barnes & Noble, and I'm really, especially when I was younger, I was really pretentious, and I'm like, I'm not reading Artemis Fowl. I'm going back to the classics, and I'm reading Tolkien, and then I'm going to read Beowulf Modern English.
Oh.
Because you'd walk into Barnes & Noble, and they have the classics. You know what I'm talking about? Like sell them. They're dirt cheap.
Oh, and they're so cheap.
I would go in there and I bought a bunch. Mm. And you can't just casually read Dickens, you know? At least I couldn't at 12. And I probably still couldn't casually. Like, really just invest myself in Charles Dickens.
Yeah, it's not something you could read while having other things go on in the background.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I can't personally do that with anything. But I bought all these and they sit on my shelf. And Not the books I have in college on my shelf are things I've read, but at home I just have so many books.
But who are they for? They're not for you.
Well, they were for me.
Well, they were, but now.
But then
not.
People will like will come into my room, and they'll be like, "Oh, do you know? I didn't. You read Taming of the Shrew.
You have such a big brain.
Yeah, sure love Shrews. Like I don't know anything about most of those books, and I feel like a charlatan. You know.
Yeah.
You're like
a false. A false reader.
Yeah. But nice.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something more clever, but I just couldn't do it.
You old false reader,
I'm
you.
I'm fried right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no, it really is
killing me.
And I wish, it's kind of fun though, because every time we come into the studio, it's like a gamble. You don't know if it's going to be really not temperate and conducive to conversation, or if it's going to be perfectly cool in here and you're going to have a good conversation. Because some days you come in here, it's hot, and you give up halfway through, which roughly we're at the halfway point. Or other days you'll come in and I'm like ready to go.
I did a similar thing to you where I tried to read a lot of the like classic novels when I was younger. I actually tried reading Dante's Inferno.
Yeah, me too.
And I was like, actually, oh man, this sounds fantastic. It sounds like an incredible epic tale. And then I'm reading through it and I'm like,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, I did that too. Well, you know what really gets you about that one especially, there's a bunch of
it doesn't translate well either. It translates all right, but
I'm
you know what I mean.
Pretty certain that Barnes and Noble, because they used to just sell classics, right? It was just Barnes and Noble classics, and it's like Dracula and Tom Sawyer and like all sorts of different things. And then they started selling classics with elaborate golden filigree on the cover, and it's like Grimm's Fairy Tales and like the most disgusting, obnoxious
like
Photoshop
gaudy,
font.
Yeah,
and you would sell them, and they made really good gifts. And when the Dante's Inferno cover was like a guy with a scythe, like standing on a rock with like Beatrice on his side, and he's like fighting off demons in hell. And then you open it, and it's middle English
like,
poetry.
Ugh.
You know, it's like dense and it's not nearly as cool.
Yeah.
I've never really committed to it, to be honest, so I can't say that, but
what was your favorite novel you read in school? For school? High school. Because I haven't had to read any novels for
you mean the
here?
Required reading?
Yeah.
In high school? Because
I thought there were some fantastic readings, and I'll name a few of mine after you're done, but
The only one that really I read a lot, obviously, but especially in high school. But Flowers for Algernon was required in seventh grade. That was a tearjerker.
That really messed
I didn't
up.
Think I had feelings, especially seventh grade. You think you're emotionally dead inside.
Yeah.
It's like, and you
man,
listen,
I'm already apathetic.
Yeah, like, you listen to 30 Seconds to Mars, and you're like, wow, when will feelings come again? And then I read Flowers for Algernon, I'm like, I don't know anything about anything.
Yeah.
You know, you really...
In seventh grade, you're coming off the highly emotional, you know, Green Day... panic.
I used to listen to some metal.
Really? I could not see that.
Screamo, actually. It was part... not really screamo. It was...
I had a ska
It was like
voice.
Heavy metal. That's not really an angsty phase. Ska?
Well, no. Ska is like... I don't know. It depends on what you're listening to. Like, if you listen to Streetlights, it's different than like Real Big Fish or Less Than Jake.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Senses Fail was the name of the band.
Mm.
It was... my brother was really into it. And, like, to be honest, I pawned off a lot of my music and taste from my brother.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, like, the people you're around the most influence you the most, right? And I'm sure because he's older, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel a little disenfranchised. Only until, once I hit about 15, I started finding my own music, which, incidentally, the first thing I was into when I was, like, 13 or 14, was Owl City. When I can count on not being interrupted by anyone in a 10-mile radius, I'll listen to Owl City still. I swear, I know like all of their albums because I was so into them.
I think it's just one guy, isn't it?
Yeah, I still say they. It's like The Weeknd. I always say the they when referring to The Weeknd.
The Weeknd doesn't sound like, or The Weeknd doesn't seem like production quality wise, like it's a single person.
Well, that's what... I don't know. I don't know why I... It's weird that he put an article in front of his name. It's really pretentious. I don't know.
We couldn't...
Right, it's also misspelled. I also kind of feel disenfranchised, too. Because, like, when you have an older brother, you just don't have anything that's your own.
You know? I can see that.
It's
I mean, his iPod Shuffle was
all I knew. Oh, you are you the older brother?
I'm the older brother, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you had to venture out. How did you... Well, I want to know what it's like. So when did you start getting into music? That's probably like, what, seven?
Probably
six
like...
Six or seven, you really start caring about music?
I don't think so. I don't think I cared about music until I was in middle school.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was a huge video games kid.
Okay.
So, like, I learned a lot of my musical tastes from my friend group, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And my current musical tastes have been really curated by my friend group in high school, senior year. I would say my rap music, like my taste for rap music comes from them.
I don't know why anytime anyone says rap music.
It just sounds wrong, right?
You sound like you're from the 1820s. I don't know.
My taste for rap,
really old.
My taste for rap, hip hop, some R&B comes from them.
Mm-hmm.
But my, especially in freshman year of college, actually, like I had a radio show with Ted Vucinic, and a lot of my friends got me into indie electronica, indie pop, alternative stuff like that. And then when we started doing our show, you got me into folk. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that was a weird turn.
Yeah,
folk for me specifically was very weird because it's just nice to listen to. I found Gregory sophomore year of high school. Or sophomore junior year, I think it was sophomore summer. But up to that point I was listening to mostly pretty angsty stuff.
Yeah, that's fair.
I had some weird stuff, but
I have a friend who loves punk and I have a soft side for punk and like ska and that kind of genre.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious now about myself because, you know, what's funny? I don't know about you, but Spotify to me still feels like the newest thing in the world and very exciting.
Oh, it's fantastic! It's always been fantastic.
But the thing is, it feels like to me that Spotify has been around for 2 years, and I just want to go back and see. This was the first playlist I ever made. This is 2012.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's freshman year of high school, I think.
I didn't have Spotify until freshman year of college, actually.
Really?
So it is to me. It's pretty new.
I don't know. Well, the thing is, I got it, and I'm pretty sure other people... I wasn't, like, the avant-garde.
I was pretty sure other people in high school, yeah.
But it's still, to this day, like, it doesn't feel like I've had this for 6 years. Hmm. It's really mind-blowing. Like, the amount of stuff... It still amazes me. And a lot of the stuff on Spotify is so underused. Like, if you had told me in 2007, when I was crushing it on Halo 3, that I could make collaborative playlists with my friends...
Yeah,
like online.
We do that sometimes, but not as often now.
Right, but like, and then the technology comes out, and it's like an auxiliary feature. People are like, "Yeah, it's all right. I'm okay. I'm not, like, whatever. That's a cool quirk, but I'm not gonna use it." But it's sick.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about Spotify is the song radio, where you can play songs that are similar to the songs that you're listening to right now, and that's fantastic. I found some great songs through there.
Discover Weekly
is amazing.
You know what's kind of cool? They had it on Spotify for a little bit, and I don't think they have it anymore. But you could tune in, like, you can see on friend activity, people listening, so on the right-hand side.
I don't do any of that.
You can see what people are listening to at any time of the day. Like, if they're listening to something, Spotify will show you what they're listening to.
Mm.
You used to be able to, for like a week, I don't know what happened to it, but you could tune in to what they were listening to. It was a little Big Brother-y and creepy, and people would... I had a friend
that is kind of cool though
who would put in, this is a cute little aside, you can find a lot on Spotify, as you know. There are a lot of not just music but ambient noises, and some of those ambient noises are a little explicit, and I had no idea they were on there. So one of my friends, his name's Danny Figler, would put a lot of those explicit noises that have some rather profane, prurient connotations involving sex. I think I can talk about that.
That's racy.
Yeah, I don't know. But there's noises concerning that activity, and he would go into my playlist, my big party playlists, you know, and throw them in.
Oh, no.
And then when I click shuffle, I got, like, people texting me one day because they could see your feed from, like, the past 2 days. It's just a picture of, I can't even say... I guess if I'm saying the name of a song, is that all right?
I don't
know.
I mean, you got a Jeep back in you, so, yeah. Go. I'd say go for
it. Well, actually, no. I don't think this is technically explicit. I don't know if it's... But it is Latina Orgasm Number 2 is the name of the song on Spotify. Okay. That's strictly the name of the song. So that popped up on everyone's feed. And
like, where can I listen to this song?
And they're like, right? Kev, you know you don't have to go to Spotify for this sort of thing. And I'm like, no, don't put that on my playlist. Yeah, we are coming up to 46 minutes. It is 5:48 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Two songs, word of the day?
Yeah, so all right. We're going to go to our music. And because we're on your coffee table, I think we'll go to mine. And in the spirit of angsty music, this is a song... That was, I don't know if you had those really, your crush songs. Mm-hmm. You know, like you had your crush and then you'd have a song that was like, you would listen to it in long car rides and be like, oh man, it's so magical. This was my big one.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So I'm only playing, I didn't actually seek this out. I'm playing it because I'm on this playlist and it's the first thing I saw. So this is Bob and Bonnie by a band called Houston Calls.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were one hit wonders and that's even... too generous, but we're gonna play that and then bounce over to you and come back with the word of the day. So
all right, let's do it up.
Here is Bob and Bonnie by Houston Calls. We'll see you soon.
Sure.
heart malfunction.
Welcome back. This is Mocha Gumbo, and I picked the wrong background music. Thought that was going to be jazz.
It wasn't. You also didn't do the intro.
I'll do the outro.
We're going to do the outro later.
We want to get right to our word of the day. You are again listening to Mocha Gumbo, and we're about to wrap up at the top of the hour.
I'm James, by the way.
And I'm Kevin. And we've got to do our word of the day. And I apologize for the dramatic...
I can dig it. I'm liking it.
It's Howl's Moving Castle, but there's a jazzy version. I did not mean to play the actual dramatic one.
Oh, this is from Ghibli, isn't it? Oh, no. This is not Ghibli. Howl's Moving Castle?
Yeah, it's a movie by, what's his last name?
It's a director. Miyazaki.
Yeah, Miyazaki.
Yeah.
I want to say this is Tenebris. Let's go ahead and check that real quick.
Tenebris.
There you go.
Tenebris means to shut off from the light, or shut off from the light, dark, murky, hard to understand, obscure, causing gloom. James, you care to try to use it in a sentence?
The content of my CS project is tenebrous.
Okay, nice. Or, I thought you were going to go really existential with it.
No.
Causing gloom. My daily routine is tenebrous.
Life in general is
yeah,
tenebrous.
I don't think I'll be using this one often because, you know, some words just sound... Some of them are so overtly not usable in a sentence when you use them, it's okay because people know, all right, he's just pushing a word.
Mm.
You know, it's like, I know this isn't natural because it sounds... But this is on that cusp of it sounds like... If I said, yeah, I don't know, the whole thing was pretty tenebrous. Like, it's not exaggerated enough to be...
Oh, it's in that weird gray area.
It's not foregrounded as this is a really obnoxious word. It's kind of not obnoxious. It pretty much is, you know? It is 5:58. We don't have much time.
Yeah, we should probably scoot.
I want to give the other guy, whoever's next, their due. But in the meantime, you are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This was Mocha Gumbo. Tune in next week, Tuesday, 5 to 6. Same mocha, same gumbo. And I've been Kevin.
And I've been James.
We love you. Enjoy the week.